love, you are love, on display for all to see. You are light, when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin. You are peace, when my fear is crippling. You are true, even in my wanderings. You are joy, you're the reason that I see. You are life, in your death has lost its sting. Oh, I'm running to your arms, I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace, light of the world forever reigns. You are more than my words will ever say. You are Lord, all creation will proclaim. You are here, in your presence I'm made whole. You are God, of all else I'm letting go.
With me, he'll not fail. I am his and all is well. He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord. He's the keeper. He's the keeper. He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord. He's the keeper. He's the keeper. He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord. I'm redeemed and now I'm free. I am his eternally. That's my song of victory, oh praise the Lord. Since his message I have heard, I have trusted in his word. He's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. He's the keeper, he's the keeper. He's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. He's the keeper, he's the keeper. He's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord.
To play through this next verse, turn to your neighbor, put a smile on your face, and say, good to see you today.
He's the keeper, he's the keeper, he's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. He's the keeper, he's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. He's the keeper, he's the keeper, he's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. He's the keeper, he's the keeper, he's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. When the saints shall gather in, we will be so happy then. Oh, it's good to be a Christian, praise the Lord. Since his message I have heard, I have trusted in his word. He's the keeper of my soul, praise the Lord. He's the keeper, he's the keeper.
keeper.
He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord. He's the keeper.
He's the keeper.
He's the keeper of my soul. Praise the Lord.
There are things as we travel this earth-shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this world, they can never be held in our hands. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever goes, and the time has surrendered, and earth is no more. I still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay.
And earth is no more. I still cling to that old rugged cross.
He can turn the tide and calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. He lights every star that makes darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He still finds the time to see the way we live. It always say, I forgive.
Well, praise the Lord. Good morning to you, and happy Mother's Day to all of our ladies here. They're all of our mothers and ladies. We're going to honor them all, whether they have children or not, but we're so thankful for each one of you in our life, and we hope you have a very, very special day. It is a good day always to be in God's house, and we have, once again, we have new faces here, we have new visitors, and we welcome you, and one of our ushers will probably get by here and give you a visitor's packet. I always tell people, if you'll open that packet, there's a card in there, fill it out, drop it on in the offering plate on your way out, or leave it laying in your pew. That tells us who we are, who you are, and then there's a business card in there with our numbers and my number and email, and that tells us you can reach out to us if you need anything or you have any questions about the church, okay? And so when they get around and give that to you in just a few moments, if you take care of that, we appreciate it, and it's going to be a good day. It's already been a great Sunday school hour. We have... We had some people in the hospital this last week. I want to just mention that both of them, actually all three of them, are out. Morgan's here this morning. We're glad of that. Isaac is not here, but he's doing better. Isaac Schoonover. And Jerry Copeland is also out of the hospital. He's not here this morning either, but they're making some improvements, so continue to pray for them. In the morning, there's going to be an angiogram. Larry Burnett's going to be having an angiogram, so keep him in your prayers as well. Okay, with that being said, we'll go ahead and ask the blessing and get back to our singing. And Jeff, will you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
How many Marvel fans do we have here? Most of this is younger folks. As you know, I always show a Mother's Day video, short video. Well, this is kind of a different video. It's kind of an animated video, and it's just about super moms. So go ahead, Brother Roy.
You know who never takes off the cape? She's got strength, speed, dexterity, and some kind of sixth sense when the house has been quiet for a little too long.
May I have those, please?
I'm sorry, Mommy.
She's not afraid of heights. She's afraid of what happens next. Who needs a snooze button when she's got a mission that starts before sunrise? She's more than a superhero. She's a gift from God. And she knows all her strength comes from above.
Dear God, thank you for giving me a mom who loves you to the moon and back.
Because behind every superhero story is a mom who never asked to be a hero. She just became one.
Mom, I love you.
I love you too, sweetie.
Heaven, heaven, heaven.
promise that you've given us that one of these days the trumpet is going to sound and you're coming back once again. And God, I pray if there are those that are here today and they have not made preparations for that day. I think about the old sentence that goes this way, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And we know that we make our preparations by putting our faith and our trust in you. And God, I pray if there's one here today that has never done that, I pray before they leave this building today that they would come and accept you as Lord and Savior. And God, we are grateful for our mothers that are here today. I think about the wonderful mother and grandmothers that you gave and placed in my life. I hate to think where I would be without my godly mother that poured herself into my life. And God, I just pray that you would be with each mother and each grandmother that is here today. And I pray that you'd help them to feel the obligation to pour themselves into their children and to train their children in the way that they should go. God, I pray that you would be with our pastor as he comes in just a few moments and as he preaches the message that you've laid upon his heart today. God, I pray that you'd use him in a mighty way today. God, I pray that you'd draw us closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come broken hearted, let rest you begin. Come find your mercy, O sinner, come kneel.
Have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful, Lord. We just appreciate you so much, what you do in our lives. And God, not just us as individuals, but us as a church collectively. Your hand has been on us for so long in so many ways. And from Sunday to Sunday, even through the Wednesday, or throughout our week, Lord, we have your blessings left and right. And we just praise you, Lord, for the group that's here this morning. We have new faces, Lord. I pray that you'll bless them, that they feel welcome in the house of God. And for those that are returned visitors, Lord, that they also would get used to us, Lord, and find that this is their home, perhaps. And Father, we honor our mothers this morning. We're grateful, God, for each one, each lady that you've put into our life, whether it be our wife or grandmother or mother or just our friends, Lord. We have women here in our church that are fantastic women and servants, but don't have children, and for whatever reasons. And I pray that you'll bless them as well. And Father, we just thank you for the rain. It's been so good, and you're just awful good to us all the time, Lord. And we had asked for it, and now it's so widespread throughout our region and all across the Midwest, and we just praise you for that. And Lord, we just thank you for the Word of God this morning. As we open our Bibles, just teach us and challenge us, and let us each walk away from here encouraged and knowing how to better serve you. And we just are so grateful for you, Lord Jesus, and what you mean to us, what you accomplished on the cross. And Holy Spirit, we're thankful for your ministry in our lives and the fact that you reside within us, that you teach us and comfort us, and you just you challenge us, you convict us when we're wrong. You do so many good things for us, Holy Spirit. We just pray that you'll move in this service and do what you do. And Lord, let me get out of the way. Help me to just be a vessel and an instrument to convey some truths, Lord, and you do the work in the hearts of your people. And Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy, and we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'll turn in your Bibles over to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And once again, we're so thankful for the mothers we have here in our church and for ladies at Bible Baptist in general. But it is Mother's Day, so the message this morning is going to lean in that direction along the way. But the principles that we discover together this morning are some things that can be applied to most any life, man, woman, or child. They're things that can help us all. Now, I love the fact that the Bible is a book of such detail. It's amazing how God chooses to interject small little comments and references right in the middle of big events that he's recording. And obviously we know that Jesus is at the center of the Word of God, and his life and his work are the focus of our Bibles. We understand that. But time and time again, God chose to note the presence of his mother. Okay, when he was at the marriage celebration at Cana, where he turned the water into wine, the scripture says the mother of Jesus was there. Just why? Well, he just interject that. The mother of Jesus was there. Matthew chapter 12, when Jesus was contending with the interrogating questions of the scribes, and bear with me for just a moment. The scribes and the Pharisees, he was answering their questions and kind of shutting them down, if you will. It says that the mother of Jesus stood without. In other words, she was just kind of off to the side, and God makes note of it. When he was hanging upon the cross, when he still clung to life before he'd taken his last breath, the Bible says that now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. And so time and time again, it just notes, just for no reason at all, it doesn't seem like, that just he interjects that his mom was there. His mom was there. And so she was there for him. And if the Bible makes note of it, and the Bible counts it important to recognize the role of a mother, then we'd do well this morning to do the same. So in 2 Kings chapter 4, I want to draw your attention to an Old Testament lady or woman / mother. And she's going to serve as a very a wonderful example for you and I this morning of godly character, character that every woman should aspire to possess in her life. And we're going to discover that she was the Bible says she was a Shunammite woman. So going forward, I'm going to refer to her as that, the Shunammite or the Shunammite woman, because otherwise the Bible hasn't given us her name, and so we'll go with that. But I want you to notice in verse 8, at the very very part of the, first part of this text, if you look at verse 8, it says, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunan, where was a great woman." Now let's just stop for a moment. Notice what the adjectives that God uses here to describe this woman. He says, "A great woman." Think about that. Could there be any greater compliment from any greater source than right there? I would be tickled if God says he's a good fella, or he's a fair fella, or he's a tolerable fella. But to be called a great woman, I'm telling you, that's a compliment. So let's learn together, what was it that was so great about her? Maybe we can attain to it ourselves. And so in verse 8, again, it says, "It fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunan, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread." Now, Elisha, let me just tell you who he is. He's a prophet. He's a man of God, a true man of God. And he's out doing the work of the Lord continually. He's traveling around doing God's work. And apparently, he goes past this lady's house on a fairly regular basis as he's out doing his ministry travels. He stops by there, or he goes by there, and each time that he passes, this lady offers him a meal. She gives him bread. And this goes on for a little time, and then she takes it a step further. Verse 9 says this, "And she said to her husband, 'Behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither.'" And so we're going to set up camp right here for just a few moments and discuss a couple of character traits that she displays right here in these two verses. First of all, I want you to see her spiritual perception. She recognizes that Elisha was a holy man of God. So first of all, we're going to applaud Elisha for being a shining light. He's doing his job. He didn't go through there declaring his godliness. He didn't have to. His life spoke for itself. He didn't come through there and say, "Oh, I'm pastor of so-and-so. I want to introduce myself." She just recognized it. She just saw. He lived in such a way that she recognized his holiness, his greatness. You know, it's important for you and I as Christians. It's important to go to church, okay? I wouldn't deny that at all. But going to church doesn't necessarily make us a shining light. It's important to read our Bibles, and I'm glad most of you do, and I do myself. But that doesn't necessarily make us a shining light. It's very important to write our checks for tithes and offerings, but that itself doesn't speak of our spirituality. It's important to tell other people about Jesus. That's a very good, vital part of our Christian testimony, but that doesn't seal the deal. What seals the deal is our life. Our attitude, our behavior, our speech, how we treat people, how well we exemplify the way the things that we say we believe, that's what speaks of godliness. And so Elisha lived that way in such a way that she just recognized. And she said to her husband, there's something about this guy. And I perceive, she says, that he's a holy man of God. In other words, I recognize, I can see that this is a holy man of God, not just a man of God, but holy. There's just a little extra description there of, man, this guy's special to her husband. He lives it. He's the real deal. So that's to Elisha's credit that he's a shining light, but to her credit, she was godly enough to perceive the true fruits of the Spirit in this man when she saw it. And the next few verses, they tell us that she told her husband about it, and he heard her out. And they both acted upon what she suggested. And fellas, I want to say for just a moment, our wives can be a great source of counsel for us if we'll let them. We need to appreciate their spiritual perception. Sometimes they can see things that we with our man eyes don't see. And so we ought to listen to them. We ought to appreciate the spiritual perception. This lady had spiritual perception, and she saw that Elisha was a true man of God. So she says to him this. Here's the suggestion to her husband. Why don't we set up a little room? And we'll take a little bed, we'll put him a cot in there, and we'll set up a table, and we'll get a stool, and we'll put a little candle in there for him, because he's been a man of God. He's allowed to have to study at night, and he'll have a place to sit and have a little light. And she suggests all this to her husband. She's absolutely hospitable. What a lost art that is in our age. Even among Christians, you know what? We don't want to be interrupted sometimes. We don't want somebody intruding upon our private life. We do a pretty good job of putting our best foot forward at work and at church. But when it comes right down to it, in our private life, we don't like to have to make adjustments for people outside our home. When it comes to our home and our possessions and our private life and our time, how do we feel about that? Do we say to ourselves, oh, that's mine? Really, it's not. It's God's. It's to be used for God. I'm so thankful for the example my grandparents gave me growing up. They were the most hospitable people I've ever known. They didn't have much, but what they did have, they wanted to make sure it was used in a way that would express kindness to those around them. We've lost that mindset today. How many people do you know that if they were put in the position of this Shunammite woman would have said, hey, get off my grass when he was walking by there. Come by here trespassing, always asking for bread. What do I look like, Miss Baird? You know, I mean, how many people, there are people like that. Selfish. When's the last time you offered help to a stranger? When's the last time you welcomed somebody into your home for a meal or perhaps a place to stay? Besides somebody closest to you, besides family, when has that happened? Here's the way I see it, and this is the way my wife sees it, and I thank God we line up on this. We started out with nothing, and we still have most of it, okay? This is the truth. We started out sharing a twin bed, her and I. And you try to get some sleep. You'll end up with children, I promise you that. But we recognize, her and I together, what God has given us. And we have a lot. We know that. And we choose, and I hope to the best degree we can, to keep that at His disposal to be used to bless those around us. From sharing our land or our equipment or our animals, livestock, whatever, to opening up our home or a back bedroom to someone else. It blesses us to share it with people. It blesses us to see it be a blessing to others. Now, I will qualify this. If you're one of those, if you come to our house about 9 o'clock, my old body begins to ache and I get a little bit tired and I'm going to need to go to my room with 2 Advil and a whole bunch of Get Still. And so you just have to hang around and turn the lights off when you leave. But we feel like what God has given us should be used to bless those around us. And I hope you feel the same way. This Shunammite woman was very hospitable. 2 times the Bible says in the New Testament that we are to be given to hospitality. Another time we are told to love hospitality. A third time that I mentioned is in 1 Peter, and it says, use hospitality one to another without grudging. So we move on. This great lady was spiritually perceptive. She was hospitable. And the third thing I want you to notice is she was industrious for the Lord. She knew this was a man of God that was doing God's work. And she asked herself, how can I help? What can I do? This was a woman that lived a very obscure life. It sounds a country life. Very likely she didn't have a great amount of resources. She probably didn't have a big circle of influence. So with all that considered, she just says, what can I do? Well, she did what she could do with what she had right where she was. She didn't have to start an evangelistic campaign or some big ministry or be given a title in the church or a position. She said, what can I do? Well, what do I have right here? And she put it to use for God's service. Her service was simple. It was as simple as a small meal now and again when he passed by, and sharing just a portion of their floor space with a little room and a place for him to rest when he traveled through. It was as simple as that. It was not complicated. It was very practical. But that doesn't mean it wasn't important. You know, that's just as important. That was just as much God's work as when a preacher stands in the pulpit. God sees that as service just the same as he sees any other thing that we do as service, simply because it's the Lord's work. This was a great woman doing a great work for a great God right where she was. Now, I want you to see what happens next. Verse 11 tells us this. It says, and it fell on a day that he came thither. This was Elisha, the prophet. He came thither and turned into the chamber, the little room, and as he lay there on that cot, it's one of these occasions where he was traveling through and he stopped by at this little couple's house and taking advantage of the rest and the accommodations that they offered him. And he's laying there resting and he's thinking about what a blessing this lady has been to him and his ministry. He's very thankful. He's very appreciative. So he says in verse 12, he said unto his servant, Gehazi, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. He says, go get her and bring her to me. I've got an idea. I want to bless her. So the servant went and he fetched the Shunammite woman. She came in. She's standing in the doorway. And Elisha says in verse 13, he says, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. In other words, he's saying, man, I recognize your concern for our needs. I recognize what you've done for us. And then he says, what is to be done for thee? What can we do in return? How can we take this blessing you've been to us and some way return it to you and be a blessing to you? Now, let me say this as a side note, how important it is for us as Christians to be alert to those around us who are serving the Lord. Those around us who do even the simplest things in service to the Lord. We can thank them for it. When's the last time you took time to do that? Maybe thank a Sunday school teacher for their lesson and the work they put in, or thank the ladies that provided the meal for one of our banquets, or perhaps the ones that are running the bus routes. And that's just right here within the church. Maybe say thank you to those that are working the nursery and all of this. That's within the church. Outside the church, everywhere we go, there are people serving the Lord. There are plenty of opportunities to express appreciation. It's Mother's Day. How many times do we thank our moms? Not just on Mother's Day. We have to do it then, right? But throughout the year, how many times do we thank our dads? How many times do we thank our grandparents? Parenting and grandparenting is a very thankless job sometimes. That's not why you do what you do as grandparents and parents. I know that. You're not trying to get recognition and appreciation. You do it for out of love. But it sure is a blessing when you hear somebody say, thank you. I appreciate what you're doing. So Elisha says to this woman, he says, what can I do for you? What can we do to show our appreciation? You've been such a blessing to us. We want to be a blessing to you. And then he starts kind of throwing some ideas out there. In verse 13, he says, wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? I really don't know what Elisha had in mind here, okay? He was a man that was well known. He was an influential man. And so perhaps he thought that, hey, maybe this lady would enjoy being introduced or acquainted with some important people. Maybe we could give her some connections where she could find favor from some leaders that can make things happen. I really don't know. Maybe I can connect you and get your husband a good job or something. I don't know what he's got in mind here. The possibilities are great, but it doesn't matter. Her response is what's so impressive. The last part of verse 13, and she answered and said, I dwell among my own people. What a display of godliness and maturity. She was a content woman. She says, I'm just a simple lady. I don't need to climb any ladders. I don't have any particular social standing that I'm trying to achieve. I'm satisfied with the people I'm around. She wasn't pretentious. She wasn't high maintenance. She had no desire to hobnob with the who's who of Judea. She didn't want to know King Jehu's cell number. She wasn't concerned about that. She was content with the life that God had given her. Many of you guys know my best friend Jake, or you at least know who he is. He's been here several times. Baptized his son back in December. We've been best friends for 40 years, and he makes his living in Nashville and in management, country music, and this sort of thing. He's handled Reba McEntire, Alan Jackson, Rascal Flatts, Jason Aldean. The list goes on and on. And that particular job that he has, he manages their tours and public appearances and all this stuff. That particular job puts him in connection with a lot of the movers and shakers of the world. Okay, for whatever that amounts to. Okay. I mean, he's in touch with, well, I've got photos of him at the inauguration a few months ago with Trump and Melania. Photos. I mean, he was there at the move-in party, okay, moving back into the White House. And I thought about that. Can you imagine the frustration of Melania Trump moving back into the White House? It's like we lived here 4 years ago and you got us kicked out. And we're moving back in. So anyway, my buddy knows all these people, okay? And there's been times, just incidentally more than anything, that I've met some people. That's not a real big deal to me, okay? But I could, if I chose to, because he travels far and wide, and I could meet some people. I don't want to know those people, to be honest with you. I've told you before what Frank Johnson said, and he said, you need to meet this guy. And he says, I don't like half the people I know already. Why do I need to meet him? I'm kind of like that. You know, I don't, you know, if they don't want to talk about Jesus or buy a horse, I don't, what I need to meet them, you know.
But she says, I dwell among my own people. She says, I don't need any moving and shaking in my life. I don't need to try to gain influence or be the who's who, make an impression on anybody. And folks, there's nothing wrong if we network in our society. I'm not implying that there's, but I'm just saying that wasn't important to her. She said, I dwell among my people. That's why I say, I dwell among my people. And that's King James Version for, I'm stuck with you derelicts, okay? How scarce that is today among women and men. We want more. We want more money. We want more power. We want more influence. We want popularity, recognition. We want more status sometimes. And how we miss out on the simple blessings of contentment. I'm just glad what God's given me right here. But I want you to watch this, mamas. We're about to learn what the true riches are. Verse 13, he's offered her some perks, okay? She declined that. And apparently she dismisses herself. She says, no thanks. Preacher, I'm good. I'm satisfied with what I have. And she went back to her chores. And Elisha looks at his servant, Gehazi, and he says, what do you think? What do you think we can do for her? And we go to verse 14. He says, what then is to be done for her? He asked his servant. And Gehazi answered this. Verily, she has no child, and her husband is old. You know what the servant's saying there? She wants to be a mother. She loves the Lord. She gets great fulfillment out of serving the Lord and serving in the household with her husband. She likes all that. She doesn't have any complaint, but she doesn't have any children, and her husband is old, and he's not up to it. So she wants to be a mom. She just wants to be a mom. She wants to hold her own child and pour herself into that child. Doesn't that really amount to what the highest calling for a woman is? Just be a mom. That really excels every other job a woman could have in this life. That excels the job of Melania Trump as First Lady. Just to hear those words, mama. So Elisha, being a man of God, he's a man that's led of the Spirit, and he's in tune with God's plan. He says, go get the woman. Go get the Shunammite woman, and we're about to have a reveal party. Now, let me explain that to you, because some of the older generation, they're like me. They're these reveals. They're like, what are we doing here? These reveal parties. And you, most of you know that when a woman now these days gets pregnant, and that you're going to have a child, that they have it's the latest craze to have a reveal, where they get their parents and their grandparents and the people closest to them, and in some outlandish, extravagant way, they reveal the news of the pregnancy, okay? Back in our day, we just got a second job, started having garage sales, and everybody pretty much picked up, well, they're going to have another kid, I guess. But now it's the reveal of the pregnancy. And then after the reveal of the pregnancy is made, there's a gender reveal. We're going to tell everybody some big extravagant way. We're going to tell everybody what the gender of the child is. And there's some crazy thing. Look it up online. Some of the craziest things. Blue or pink methane gas rising off the feedlot out here or something like that. I mean, it's just craziest way you can say it's a boy or it's a girl. Well, Elisha's about to have one of the grandest reveals of all time. He's going to tell the Shunammite woman she's going to have a baby, and it's going to be a boy before the conception even took place. Verse 16 tells us, he says, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. That's a reveal party. This time next year, ma'am, depending on how big a hurry your husband gets in, you're going to have a boy. And this was in an age, folks, where having a boy in the culture and the age that they lived in, having a boy was a huge deal, especially if it was the first child. This was going to be the heir. This was going to be the namesake. So the news that she was hearing from Elisha was about as profound as anything that could be told her. Notice her response in the second part of verse 16. And she said, "Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid." I want to interpret that for you. She says, "No way. Don't be messing with me, preacher. This can't be true." Now, I want to back this into the barn real quick, and I'll let you out of here. And in fact, David, you guys can go ahead and move towards your instruments if you'd like. If you're a mother this morning, you need to realize if you were offered the highest position in all of society, even the first lady, and you had to forfeit being a mother to have that, you'd be taking a demotion. You'd be stepping down from the lofty position that God has put you in. You're a mama. You've got a little child. And we'll talk about dads here in a few weeks, okay? But you've got a little baby that looks to you for life. And you can mold, as many of you mothers already have. You have your grown kids that I love and respect because you did something in those early years to make them what they are. You have that opportunity, moms. Oh, I'm so thankful for all the babies we have in this church. I'm so thankful for the young couples that are coming to the house of God. And we've got a little herd of the little roundheads. They're all girls back here in the nursery this morning. You're a mama. And it's the loftiest position you can hold in life. If you do something else, that's fine, but it's not as important as being a mama. If you're here this morning and you've got a mom and your mom's still alive, and thank God mine still is, I think we're getting on the tail end of things. It's hard to tell. But you've got a mama. And especially if you've got a mama that's spiritually perceptive, a mama that's not high maintenance, or wants to serve the Lord, wants to honor God, just wants to dwell among her own people. If you've got a mama that says, "Hey, I don't need a bunch of other stuff. I just want to be a mama," then you need to appreciate her. I want to ask you to stand. And have a verse of invitation. Maybe you just want to bow before God this morning and say, "Thank you, God, for my mom." Maybe your mom's gone. "Thank you, God, for my grandparents." Many of the grandparents have raised kids. I was raised by grandparents. You want to thank them. But honor your mom today. And ladies, by the way, I did, once again, I want to qualify. If you haven't had children, I know there are women here today that have not had that opportunity. They've grown old without having children, and it's not their fault. It's just the way it happened, and they're just as special this morning. They serve God in the house of God just like the mothers do, and we honor you as well. But thank you, moms. Thank you, wives. Thank you, grandmas. Thank you, Christian ladies. God spoke into your heart, and you want to pray and thank God for your mom, or you are a mom, you want to pray and thank God for the opportunity to be a mom, then you come this morning. Love. guys. We're going to dismiss in just a moment. Let me just give you some reminders. We're going to have Young at Heart on Tuesday, about 10:30. We'll start playing dominoes, chicken foot, and having a few games back there. And then at noon, we'll have a potluck meal. So come be a part of that with us. If you're of the retired generation, or if you just got a day off and you want to come be a part of that, if you haven't before, we have a great time. It's one of my favorite things we do each month. And so come be a part of Young at Heart. And then we've got a couple of events coming up in a couple of weeks. On Sunday, May the 25th, on that morning service, we're going to recognize our seniors, just basically introduce and congratulate the seniors of our church, high school seniors, and even there's some college seniors that are graduating. And so if you have one of those in your family that belongs to our church or is a part of our church, and you want them to be a part of that, be sure and get with myself or brother my son Cooper and tell him who it is, and we can make sure that we honor them that morning. And if you would also that morning, we prefer that you'd get here just a little bit early. We start our service at 10:30, so it'd be important to get here at closer to 10, so we can just make sure everything's in order and we can do this in a way that's best for for everybody and fit it into the schedule. Okay, and in that night at Memorial Day weekend, we're going to have a cookout. That's going to be something we're not going to have a service here. We're going to meet back in the fellowship hall and out on the grounds and have a cookout and just celebrate Memorial Day in that way. And so get that on your mind, and we'll be letting you know a little bit more about that as we go forward. Okay, appreciate you guys being here. Thank you, visitors, for being with us. Come back. Thank you, moms, for all you do. And let's get home so you can cook for us. Okay. All right. Here we go. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Thank God for you, moms. Clay, will you lead us in prayer, please?